Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 5 today. Hebrews 5. And I said when I began this series that this series of lessons we're going to they're in a flux. Let's see how the Lord wants us to deal with these. And this lesson today is one of those that is not necessarily a consider him lesson, but it's one of those warnings of the five warnings that's given to us in the book of Hebrews. This is number 3. And just to by way of reminding you, as far as warnings, the first warning that we came up against was in chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. And that was about neglect and indifference, letting the things that we know just kind of float by. The Bible tells us that we ought to grab hold of them. We need to make those things ours. You know, sometimes people go to church, and especially church kids go to church, and they never make Jesus their own. Who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to Kevin McFadden. And Kevin McFadden had had some things in his life where he went to church, his dad was a preacher and all that, but he never made it his own. And until some tragedies came in his life, he got to the point where he said, God, I want to be sure that I'm saved and I want to get things right. And God used his testimony, his mistakes, his sin, to be a warning to other people who are just kind of floating, just playing the game, you know, just floating through. You need to make sure that the salvation in the Bible is your salvation. You need to be sure that Christ is your Savior. And don't be indifferent. Don't be neglectful to the things that you hear and the things that you learn. The second warning that we saw in this was in chapter 3. And that warning was about unbelief and disobedience. That's chapter 12, 3, 12 and 13. I'm going to turn back there if I can do it. 12 and 13. And the Bible says there, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's nothing good about sin. Sin will deceive you and it will harden you. It will harden me. It'll harden you. Sin hardens anybody. And so we need to exhort one another while it's called today. There's hope while it's called today. You don't have tomorrow and yesterday's past. Today, while it's today. And so when we know things, and we know things about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we understand what he's done for us, and understand that he wants a relationship with you and with me, and God is very much interested in that. In the book of Hebrews, the more I read it, you know, we get to chapter 11 and talk about faith. But faith starts way back at the beginning of it. And we just see the examples of those people that really fully grew in their Christian life. And they believed God. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us, we need to believe. And belief shows itself in faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We believe, even though we haven't seen, we still believe. So that's the second warning. But the third warning today is in our scripture here in chapter 5. It's starting to get warm in here now. Maybe it's because I'm teaching now. Are you guys all right? Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Lukewarm. Okay. All right, here we go. In chapter number 5 and verse number 10. Now, verse number 10 says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And this is an eternal priesthood. And we discussed this last week in chapter 5. So now, the writer of Hebrews is going to get a little deeper. Now, I know some people get scared when you talk about going deeper. But there's every evidence in the Word of God that we are to grow and mature. There's nothing beautiful or exciting about staying an infant Christian. It's a bad thing. So we need to grow on. And that's what he's dealing with here. And this is the warning, verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, the warning here specifically deals with being slothful. Being slothful and lazy in your Christian experience, in your Christian life. When I think about that, slothfulness leads to other things. And I think it leads to what we're seeing in these last days. We're seeing people, young people that are growing up in church, and then they just kind of fall away. The reason for falling away, the reason for dropping out, is because they never added to the Christian life. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we have exceeding great and precious promises that have been given to us, whereby by these you've escaped the corruption that's in the world. Then he goes on, and Brother Parker did a series on this on a Wednesday night. He talked about adding to your faith, virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge experience, and all these things. But because he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you be not, unfruitful. You're not unfruitful in a Christian life. And if you're not adding these things, you're blind and you cannot see afar off. And you've forgotten that you've been purged from your old sins. So the Bible knows nothing, class, about being an infant Christian. It knows everything about you and me growing up in our Christian life and becoming mature. The word is perfect. Now, I know we stay away from the, nobody's perfect. But I'm going to show you this morning, yes, there is, according to the Bible, the definition of perfect is manifest in Jesus Christ. And so if we're growing up in Christ, if we're growing to the measure of the stature of Christ, the word perfect for a Christian that's mature is, hold on, we'll get there, all right? And we'll talk about that. So the writer of Hebrews now has dealt with the divinity and humanity of Christ, his fitfulness as being a merciful and high priest, and the work that he is going to do, that he does for us. So now he's going to deal with not the earthly work of Christ, but he's going to advance to the heavenly work of Christ. And this is where, I'll be honest with you, several years ago when I picked up that book by Andrew Murray on the holiest of all, I began to see that there is much more to our Christian experience and what Jesus is doing presently for us than what we even get our hands in on and what we really see. So this is where we're going. And before we make this quantum leap now from the base principles, the elementary principles of the Lord Jesus in chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, and he's jumping now into the Melchizedek part, the priest forever, he has to issue this warning. He said, there's some things that you need to know and should understand, but you're babes. And somebody's going to go back and teach you the elementary stuff again about Jesus saving you and dying on the cross for your sins. And I think sometimes we dwell too much on that to the excluding of what he's doing now. Because he is doing some great and exceeding things now. And if it weren't for what he did then, he would never be able to do what he's doing now for you presently in heaven as an eternal high priest. So he's got to say, listen, in order for you to understand what I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ and what he's able to do for you now, what we're going to consider about Christ now, you need to grow up. And you need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is what he's trying to say. So what we're going to learn will do us no profit if we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall what? Be filled. Yes. So for us to get filled with the spiritual stuff that God wants to teach us, we got to hunger for it. We got to say, I want to know more. Years ago, I preached a message about, and I used the illustration about stepping out in the water and going a little deeper,
I think somebody wrote a song in that too. I don't remember the total part of the message, but the fact of the matter is we need to grow on. We need to grow up in our Christian life. And so sadly today, this is the case with too many individuals. They profess to be saved, but they're content with Christ as Aaron. And that's it. So they rest in their sound doctrine. They're faithful to church services. They do the proper Christian manners. But as far as any strong desire to know more about Christ, because there is more, so much more. I think that's why the writer that wrote that song wrote that. More, so much more. Because that person who wrote that song, I'll guarantee you, was learning about Christ more. And that's why he or she wrote that song. You might have to help me on that a little bit on that song. And more about Jesus, what I know. More of his grace to others show. See, more. There is so much more. So we need to grow. So we see a contrast here this morning. And it deals with two kinds of people. The baby Christian and the adult Christian. The baby Christian and the adult Christian. Now, we're going to take a look at the baby Christian this morning. He says, for everyone, verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, the reason why they're that way is he deals back up in verse 11 and says that they are dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. I looked up that word dull. I didn't even look in the Greek. I just looked up an English word for dull. It means lacking interest, bored, not not perceiving things distinctly. That was my own handwriting. That's why I went, duh. That's how fresh that is. You know, I got my time notes, but you don't perceive things distinctly. You're dull. All right. You're not able. You're not interested. You're kind of bored. Does that happen to you sometimes? Oh, I've heard this before. I know about this. And that's the way these people were. We know all about this, but you'll never be able. It's like a student in school. You can never teach them anything if they are bored. Like, I know all this. I've heard this before. Or I know how to do this. You know, you don't have to tell me. And you can never teach somebody who's not eager to learn. You can try to force feed them or whatever, but you're not going to get anywhere. And he says, you, Hebrews, you think you've got it all down. You're bored. You're dull. You know, you're dull listeners. And he said, you should be able to take some more meat. You ought to be able to eat meat now and not dwell with these elementary principles. And they had an inability to receive deeper spiritual truth. You see, the spiritual mind is one that thirsts after God and will sacrifice anything to know more. And when I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about spiritually will sacrifice or physical will sacrifice in order to know God better. And I think this is the reason why Paul understood so much spiritually. I want you to go back with me to Philippians just for a minute. Philippians chapter 3. Brother Parker, I know, has preached from this. And I think I have maybe once or twice as well. But here he talks about why I think Paul was a strong Christian. He says here in verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Notice how he puts that. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul was not satisfied with just Jesus dying on the cross and the resurrection. He wanted to know more about the resurrected Christ. And isn't that where God puts the emphasis? On the resurrection, not on the incarnation. And the incarnation's important. You got to have that to have a resurrection. But the resurrection part, he said, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And then he says, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Most Christians in America in the 21st century, if they lost something, they'd, oh, woe is me, it'd be so bad. They said, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count it all dung. It's all it is. That I may win Christ, see, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. I don't want my righteousness. What is our righteousness? Class, what is it?
filthy rags. Yeah. But, which is of the law, by doing the deeds of the law. That's my own righteousness. But he says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And notice he goes on here. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I don't know if I'm going to have time to get there, but how is Christ made perfect, according to Hebrews? He was made perfect by the things that he what? Suffer. Yes. And he was obedient unto what? Death. Even the death of the cross. That was the biggest test in his humanity, and he passed the test. What does it mean to be a perfect Christian? It's one that, well, he says it here in chapter 5 of Hebrews. Verse number 9. The author of eternal salvation unto all them that, what? Obey him. And doesn't this make sense? Children, I have to use Jaden here because I use Jaden because I was doing this lesson. I was thinking about him, and I think babies are cute. I mean, who doesn't like to play with babies? And my wife, that's all she did last night, was lay on the floor and play with Jaden, all right, and keep him from crying or whatever, feed him. They're cute, but all you can do is, and that's what they do. They smile back just like that. They smile, and I'm not saying you're a baby, Mark, but that's what they do. You want to make a baby, and you play with their cheeks. Come on, smile. You're doing that, and that's all they can do. Do you know that babies can't help? They're no help. You can't say, Jaden, go out and mow the lawn. He can't. He won't. He doesn't want to. All he wants to do is either, if he's not happy laying on his back, you pick him up, he stands up on his feet, and then he gets tired of that and wants to do something different. But that's all he does, and he eats. And what does he eat? Milk. Now, at one time, that was a wonderful existence for all of us, because you got carried around. Sometimes you probably were put places you didn't want to be put, and you let it be known that you didn't like that because you cried, and then you just ate milk. But they're of no help. But when we mature, and we'll say this to our kids, don't we? I told you to do that. No, you go do that right now. You obey me, young man. You're saying, obey, right? Obey. And you have to tell them, obey, 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 obey. But when they become a mature man, you don't have to say, Brother Watson, you need to obey me. No, he knows. Why? I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I think you can handle this. He has his senses exercise to discern what's right to do and what's wrong to do. A baby doesn't know that, and they really don't care. And usually, they'll choose to please themselves, won't they? More often than not, they'll please themselves. Even Cooper will please himself. Carter will please himself. Why? Because they're babes. They're adolescents. But the Bible says when you grow up in your spiritual experience, you'll have your senses exercised to discern. You'll have spiritual discernment, and that's what salvation is all about. God saved us, Christ saved us to get us back to the point where we could obey. Because Adam, he didn't obey, did he? He didn't obey at all. He disobeyed God. So the second Adam came to restore to us what God wanted it to be in the beginning. Obedience. Those that obey him from a heart. I want to. I will obey you. So the essence of our being perfect goes back to our obedience. Christ gave us a perfect salvation. How do you do it? Through obedience. Obedience. So it comes back to that again. So the question is, are you a perfect Christian? You are to the point at which you are obedient to the word of righteousness. That's the bottom line. So a baby, they're content with the knowledge of the crucified Christ, but of the heavenly Christ and all his power and obeying him, they have issues with that.
because they don't understand the word of righteousness. And by the way, it's a word of righteousness. This word is righteous. And if I have little righteousness, I'll have little peace. If I have much righteousness, there'll be much peace. You say, okay, prove that to me. Well, when Christ comes and he sets up his kingdom, he'll rule with a rod of iron. And what kind of rule will that be? It will be a righteous rule, won't it? And what will happen to the nations of the world? The Bible tells us they'll beat their swords into plowshares. And they won't have any war. There'll be peace, right? Jesus is the Prince of Salem. Jerusalem is a righteous. And what is he called? His name is a Prince of Peace. So whenever there's righteousness, there's peace. Whenever there's a bunch of unrighteousness, is there any peace? No. My God saith, there is no peace, saith my God, to the what? The wicked. There's no peace. Mm-mm, none whatsoever. So the more righteous I am, the more obedient you and I are to the word of righteousness, the more peace I will experience in my life. All right? Now, you know that, don't you? You know that. And so this is what he's saying. You need to grow up. And the predicament of these baby Christians is also something that they were not able to do. Their predicament was they were not able to teach others also. Because they wanted to be helped. I want you to help me. And they weren't any help to anybody else. They couldn't teach anybody else because they were unskillful in God's word. They were unskillful in all of it. And you see in our... This is what Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 2:2. He said, what you've learned of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who are able to what? Teach others also. Yes. And so a mature Christian is able to teach others also. Now I know what you're saying. Well, I'm not a teacher. You know, I fully believe that God does gift people with a gift of teaching. However, if you're growing in your Christian experience, you're going to want to share what you're learning and share something about Christ that's going on with you with somebody else. You're not going to sit on it and not say anything. You want to share it. The best time that I have with fellow Christians is not when we're talking about the things of the world, but when we talk about the things of the Lord. And I say, look what Jesus did. Look what he's doing. And I discover something about Christ that I hadn't seen before. And there's more. There's so much more. And so a growing Christian is teaching others by his life and by his lip. And by the way, if we're parents, we're instructed to teach our children, right? We stand, we sit, we walk into the way. We're to teach them. What are you to teach them? God's word. So I can't be an effective parent in teaching my children about God if I'm not growing myself. I'm not gonna be able to. So there again, I had to be growing. So these Hebrew Christians were in bad shape spiritually. They needed somebody to teach them the elementary principles of Christ again, about Christ's atonement. And they were ever learning, but they didn't feed others because they didn't appropriate what they were being taught. So the deal is, when you come to church and when you come to Sunday school, then you need to be a ready listener, but a ready writer. I'm going to write that down. I may need this someday. And that shows me that somebody's wanting to teach somebody else. They're learning so they can teach somebody else. And the people in Hebrews, he says, you guys are babes. You should be able to teach others, and you can't because you've never appropriated what you've been taught. So you got to be taught again. We go over this again. And so that their problem was immaturity. They were immature. And the reason went back to the fact that they were just slothful. He says, you need to grow up. Don't be so lazy in your Christian life. Don't be. You need to sacrifice to make progress. And they were unwilling to forsake the things of the world so they can know Christ better. And they were not willing to grow by faith. And so they weren't growing up. And so there's a real contrast today between a baby Christians and those who are mature. And the contrast comes back to this. They are unskillful in this book right here, and the word of righteousness. You know, when I was a teenager, back in seventh grade, they always took a week off of school to go to this camp. It was pretty cool. I mean, you learned how to build terrariums. Is it terrariums? Those a garden in a jar kind of thing. All right. So you got to do that. You got to go out in the forest and find some moss and put in there and all that kind of stuff. And that was the cool part. And you got to play games. But the worst part was that you also had dance class. I taught you how to dance. Not much to it. You stand here and hug and do that, you know, slow dance and fast dance. Well, the bad thing was that learning how to dance was in my cabin. And I thought I could sneak out, you know, and just go to my cabin, not go to dance class. Well, where I sneaked to, was the forest. I just went in the woods during that hour when dance class was happening. However, Friday night, Thursday night, I don't remember, it was one of those nights before camp was over, was the night when everybody had to be there for dancing, you know. And so I got the questions then. What's a dance, you know? And my response was a baby answer. I said, it's because my church doesn't. Oh. My church doesn't believe in it. That's a baby answer. You understand? Unskillful in the word of righteousness. So that's the way a baby Christian answers. Well, our church doesn't do that. Or my church believes in this. It sounds like good Catholics, don't they, instead of Baptists, you know? Because they're unskillful in the word of righteousness. The fact of the matter is, all of us need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to know how to divide the word of truth properly. Not so you can stand up and teach men. No. So you can teach your children. So you can teach somebody that you're working with. This is what God says. You see, we're all teachers, and we need to be good teachers of God's word. But the reason we don't is because we're just slothful, lazy. We don't want to take time to do it. It's too much work. It's easy just to know all the things I knew when I was a kid about Jesus. But he says, that's not good. You need to go on from there. You need to grow on from there. And so we're plagued with that. And so what is a mature Christian like then? And I've kind of bleated over in all this. The contrast is, with a mature believer, they exercise themselves. You know, one thing about Jaden, he's getting better at this. I mean, we noticed this last night. Now, Jaden will reach for things. You know, the reach stage. No. You know, you're trying to read a book. You know, there goes that page. Right? Because he's grabbing now. All right? He's learning to exercise. He's getting a little more coordinated. Could I put it that way? Coordination. He's exercising those limbs. We know, the nurses will tell us, if we lay around in bed, it's not good for you. They put those stupid socks on your feet to keep your circulation going, you know. Tell me, what's the purpose? I've forgotten. Tell me. Okay, because you're not exercising, you're just sitting there, right? So, or laying there, whatever. So when you exercise, it helps your body tremendously in all areas. When you run or jog, it helps your heart, helps your organs and all that. God intended for us to be active. And mature people exercise themselves. Mature Christians exercise themselves in the Word of God. They do their spiritual exercises. And they're growing. And in life, just physical life, there is a definite transition from being a child to being an adult. Isn't there? But the sad thing about it, in the spiritual realm, sometimes there's not. There's an infant, and there's an infant, and there's an infant. There's no progress. There's no growing up. There's no growth. And Brother Parker teaches on this, and he kind of touches on it. He touched on it, was it Wednesday night? He said something about baby Christians. He said something about older women are teach younger women. How? What are they teaching? To love their husbands and love their children. But if you're not learning, you're not growing, you're not going to do it, are you? You're not able to teach. See, it corresponds to what he's saying. You're not growing because you should be teaching now and you're not doing it. You're still an infant. So this is a problem. So it not only affected Christians in the first century, it affects us in the 21st century. Grow on. Grow on. Grow. And so the exercise of our spiritual senses has special reference to the reason why God saved us. So that he says here that we have our, verse 14, our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. A child doesn't know that a stove, if he puts his hand on it when it's red hot, it looks real pretty, but he doesn't know that he puts a hand on it, he's going to burn himself. His senses are not exercised to determine that's bad. It looks pretty though. I want to touch it. And the same thing, see, you know, Rob, that you don't put your hand on a hot, red hot stove because it will burn you. You've had your senses exercised. You either learned that by obedience to your parents or by experience. Aaron told me years later, he said, I just want to see what that stove. We told him, no, this wood stove's hot, don't touch it. Well, he wanted to try and see if I really meant business. That's the way children are. Do you really mean business? And he found out that we were speaking the truth. We're trying to save him from a burn. Baby Christians, well, I don't know if the preacher really means that. Does it really mean that? It won't happen to me. And so they just go ahead and do it. And then they find out, But mature Christians say, I know I'm supposed to stay away from that. Because God says so, the preacher preaches that, I'm to stay away from that. Because I know God means what he says. They're obedient, see? They've learned. Learned obedience. They have their senses exercised. And they have their senses exercised to discern right and wrong, and they will choose the right. They'll make the right choice. A spiritually mature believer will. And so we have our eyes exercised to see and to know God's way and him who leads us in it. We have our ears open to hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice. They hear and they follow. They follow me. And we have our conscience is guided by the Holy Spirit to reject everything that's not pleasing to God or even doubtful. We make a right choice. We exercise our will to choose to do his will. It's God which worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. He gives me the want to and the desire to do his will, to follow him. So it is important that we note something here before we go on in our spirit in Hebrews here. The ability for us to understand what's going to follow here about as we consider Christ as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek has nothing to do with study or genius or education. But it has everything to do with a tender, obedient heart. Can I say it again? You don't have to be a seminarian to understand this book. And that's why people, I think, stay away from Hebrews. Oh, man, it's so deep. You don't have to have a college degree. All you have to have is a tender, obedient heart and believe. Believe what he says. Andrew Murray said this. He said, in the things of God, a tender conscience and a surrendered will are more than the highest intellect. That's a mouthful. Let me say it one more time. In the things of God, a tender conscience and a surrendered will are more than the highest intellect. And Jesus said that in John 7:17. He said, if any man will to do his will, he shall understand the doctrine. So I, first of all, just will to will. I want a will. I want to know your will. And then I'll understand. Once I say, God, I just want to know you better. And whatever you show me, I will accept it. Then you'll understand it. Okay? So
So we see the reason for our redemption. It's to save us from sin and to bring us back into perfect obedience and fellowship with God. That's what our salvation is all about. So Jesus did this. Verse number 9 tells us he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You realize, and we talked about this before, Jesus was tempted, right? But in every temptation, he had discernment to choose the right. He had discernment, the spiritual wisdom to be obedient. For example, in the wilderness, he had to fast and pray, lest the lawful desire of his human nature would lead him to sin, making stones bread. And so therefore, he was perfected. So we see a Christian perfection, if you will, is the essence of fellowship with Christ, is to walk in obedience to him. Just follow him. I don't have time to go over it, but if you would, just mark it down somewhere. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul there talks about the word perfect there. He says, let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. And the word perfect there would mean obedient. And he's talking about spiritual maturity there. If you're obedient, be thus minded. And he says, if anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. So what is the strong meat he's talking about here? The context tells us what the strong meat is. The context tells us that it's about Christ being after the order of Melchizedek. That is a solid food. The knowledge of Christ as Melchizedek, as he is now going to expound to us, this is the strong meat. Do you know about Christ as Melchizedek? That's what we're going to learn about. But you'll only be able to appropriate it, class, if each of us will have a tender heart and say, Lord, I just want to know you better. Consider Christ. Consider him. And know what he's doing for you today. And understand what he's able. He's able to save you to the uttermost. And that's not just talking about what we save to the uttermost. No. It's a nice song. It's a jingle. And we say amen about it. But we're talking about more than just getting you to heaven and changing your body. We're talking about freedom from sin's dominion completely. Now, I don't have to sin. Now, people will say, we excuse that. Oh, well, yeah, yeah. But the Bible tells us, because we have his seed in us, it has no desire to sin. It will not sin. And we're children of light. We're not children of darkness. So when I sin with my eyes open and I make a definite choice to disobey God. Now that I'm in the light. So it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. And so there's so much more. So he's able to save us to the uttermost. He's able to bring us into the sanctuary in heaven to dwell there. He's a mediator, a new covenant, who will actually fulfill its promise to write God's law in my heart. He'll do it today and bring me into perfect obedience. So the challenge before us is this. If we're hungering after righteousness and longing for a very close fellowship with Christ, what we're going to study will profit us. If we're not hungering for it, it'll just be a series of lessons and we won't go any farther. So I hope that you understand what we're talking about this morning. And I don't say these things to shame you or to make you feel bad, but I hope it provokes you while it's called today to go on. To not be satisfied where you're at. Because the fact of the matter is, you and I are to grow on so we can help somebody else. We can teach somebody else. We can help them along in their Christian experience. And there's never a stopping point. Because how can you stop with God and say, I know all about him? You can't. He's infinite. And all eternity will continue to do that. We'll still learn more about him as he reveals more about himself. So let's be skillful in the word of righteousness. Let's be skillful. Let's not be babes. And let's have a ready heart and a ready mind to receive the truth that he gives to us. And the strong meat we're going to look at is that about Christ being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's more. There's so much more. about the Lord Jesus. So may God help us so we can enjoy the strong meat and be skillful in God's word. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'd forgive us where we have failed and we've not grown on in our Christian experience, our Christian life. And I pray that we would, each of us, wherever you've spoken to us this morning, would make the spiritual sacrifices necessary that we might be more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in our walk to be obedient to the scriptures that we know and those that we continue to learn. May we be obedient in those as well. In Jesus' name, amen.